This week, I'm particularly pleased to be able to introduce a gentleman who is almost a legend among actors and who has earned the enviable reputation by virtue of an ability rarely equaled in the entertainment business. He is truly one of America's most beloved figures, the star of such great stage plays as 45 Minutes from Broadway, Funny Face, OK, the Pulitzer Prize-winning play of The I Sing, as well as scores of top motion pictures. So it's a real pleasure indeed to welcome a veteran of more than 50 years on the American stage and screen, Mr. Victor Moore.
Oh, dear. Has it been that long?
It hasn't really seemed so long, has it, Victor?
No, it hasn't, Les. I enjoy each new role, and I'm happiest when I'm working. I'm looking forward to my part in our radio play as though it were my theatrical debut.
Well, good luck in your debut, Victor. And I'm looking forward to a little chat with you after the play, while we're waiting for the critics' report on our newcomer.
I'll meet you right here, Les.
Good. Thank you, Victor Moore. And now, here is our announcer. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
Don't think it's too gay, do you, Mr. Cooley?
Why, not at all, Mr. Silver. I've never seen you look better. I'm certainly glad to see you getting away from those brown suits you've always worn. Confidentially, Mr. Silver, I never did like you in brown.
Well, me either. You know, Cooley,
dreaming about a blue suit with an invisible red stripe for years.
And it really looks marvelous on you.
Maybe you'd better wrap it up before Mrs. Snover gets here.
Oh, she came in the store with you?
Yeah, she stopped at the lingerie department, but she told me to run along to the men's clothing. There were some models there.
Oh. Well, I'd better get the suit wrapped before... Well, hello, Mrs. Snover. A real pleasure to see you.
Edgar, what are you doing in a blue suit?
Oh, I just thought I'd like it for a change. I'm tired of brown.
He's tired of brown. How do you like that, Mr. Cooley?
Tired of brown.
Have you got one of those brown suits you usually keep in stock for Mr. Snover?
Why, yes, Mrs. Snover, we certainly have. Very smart suit, and Mr. Snover looks so well in brown.
Judas.
Take that suit off, Edgar. We'll take the brown one. There's no sense in looking at a dozen models when we know what we want.
But, Mary...
It certainly makes it a lot simpler to stick to the same pattern and color each time.
But, Mary, couldn't I have a blue suit just once?
No.
Oh, gee, sometimes I wish...
Edgar, take that silly expression off your face. What's come over you?
I don't know. But lately I seem to hear music every so often. And then something comes over me and... Well, then I'm tired of being me.
Well, I can't say that I blame you. Mr. Cooley, you can send out one of the brown suits. And you'd better send a dozen of those plain brown ties that we always buy, too. We have made up our mind.
Gosh, Mary, if you'd only let me help make up our mind just once. Bottle of ginger ale, and you broke it.
And you're not going to get any more.
But, Mary, I don't put anything into the ginger ale. I haven't for years.
But you pretend there's something in it. That's just as bad.
Oh, I might as
well. And I've thrown out your pipes, too. They still smelled of tobacco.
Well, how could they? I haven't had any tobacco in them for years.
Well, then there's certainly no sense in keeping them, is there?
Well, I like to wear one sticking out of my breast pocket. It gives me a rakish air.
You and Errol Flynn.
Oh, you noticed the resemblance, too. For a while, I thought it was just my imagination.
Oh, no, it couldn't be that. You have no imagination.
I have too. No, I guess I haven't any imagination. Mary, we haven't seen a picture all week. Would you like to go to the movies tonight?
I am going to the movies with Mrs. Goslin.
Oh.
And you're staying home, Edgar George Snover. You're way behind on your ironing. And I don't want it scorched this time. Now, no daydreaming, Edgar.
Oh, of course not, Mary. How could I daydream? It's evening already. Now, let's see. I can get the ironing done in about 2 hours. That gives me a half hour to clean the basement. Then I hurry to get the darning done before Mary gets back, and I... No, I'm not going to do it. Am I a man or a mouse? Maybe I'd better look in the mirror. I would look better with a blue suit. Maybe a maroon tie. But I don't look so bad.
You're getting a little bald and a trifle paunchy, and you have a hangdog expression, but as you say, you don't look so bad. But you sure know Errol Flynn, Edgar?
Who are you?
I'm your subconscious.
My subconscious? Do you think Mary knows I have one?
If she doesn't, it's the only thing she doesn't know about you.
Where did you come from?
From the dim recesses of what used to be a very good mind. I'm a very high type caliber subconscious, too. Only it's been a long time since you used me.
Well, how could I use you? I didn't know you.
Oh, I guess you didn't. You see, I'm you, and of course, you're me.
It sounds pretty complicated. Couldn't you make it a little simpler?
Oh, sure, Edgar. I realize that brain of ours, yours, hasn't had too much exercise lately. You see, everyone has a subconscious, inner thoughts that tell him what to do. We subconscious are always on the alert, ready to spring into action. Like this afternoon when you wanted that blue suit. Did you hear a sort of inner voice telling you to take it?
Like a chord of music, maybe?
Right. I was trying to break through. But then you took a look at Mary, and you put me right out of the picture. Now, just because I mentioned Mary, you don't have to try to push me out of the picture again. After all, if you want to be a man again...
Oh, I do.
Boy, I'm glad you said that. You almost pushed me clear out again.
Well, I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to push you anywhere. I'm not much of a pusher.
You're telling me. Edgar, I'm almost ashamed to be your subconscious at times. Oh, what a weakling. You let Mary keep you in this 2x4 apartment when you own a big house just because she can keep servants. You let her hand-picked manager run your factory, and you're afraid to even go down there. No wonder you let them pin the name Edgar on you. Why, if you listened to me, you'd call yourself E. George Snover, and you'd stick out your chest and live up to the name. Not that. That's your stomach.
It used to be my chest.
A lot of things used to be something they aren't now. You know, Edgar, you've reached the stage where you have to do something right now, or else. If you let me tell you what to do just once, things will be different when Mary gets home.
I'll say they will. I haven't done the ironing yet. I wonder if I should. Mary is dead set against tobacco for me.
Go on in, Edgar.
Well, all right.
Well, come in, Snover. Don't stand there all night.
I beg your pardon.
Pretty late, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know.
The missus know you're out?
Oh, yes, yes, indeed.
Well, what'll it be? Bag of jelly beans?
Oh, no.
I want some pipe tobacco.
What are you whispering about? It ain't rationed.
No, it isn't. Not in everybody's house.
Okay, tin of tobacco. Anything else?
Well, have you Do you stock, do you keep, well, how about some ginger ale?
Sure. Large bottle?
No, just a small bottle of ginger ale, but I'll have a large bottle of that other stuff on the shelf.
You don't mean that fifth of...
I didn't ask you what it was. Just wrap it up, Mr. Boone.
Edgar, is that you?
Yes, dear. Well, you got home early tonight.
And just where have you been?
Well, I just thought I'd get a breath of air. Yeah, air.
What's in that package?
Oh, I was just going to hand it to you.
Edgar Snover, do you know what I smell in that package?
I must have picked up the wrong one somewhere.
I'll say you did. Now just trot out to the kitchen and get a broom, a dustpan, and a mop. Maybe I'd better go with you to see that you come right back.
Yes, my love.
And tobacco, too. Well, really, Edgar George Snover, I am surprised.
Yeah, I am a little, too. I never would have believed it.
Well, am I glad I came into the kitchen. Not a speck of the ironing done.
Oh, I could have sworn I did it before I went out. You think maybe the wind
Edgar.
Could have... No, I guess not.
Well, you'll stay up tonight until that ironing is done.
Yes, dear.
And tomorrow you'll be punished. You can't go to the park and feed the pigeons.
But, Mary, the pigeons didn't do anything, and you'll be punishing them, too.
Oh, don't think for one minute you've been fooling me, Edgar. I know why you go to the park. It's to get away from me. Subconsciously, you'd like to be the boss around here.
What did you say?
I said subconsciously you'd like to...
That doesn't.
What are you talking about?
You just reminded me of my subconscious. I can't let my subconscious down.
Have you gone mad?
Yes, darn mad. Now let's put down this janitor's equipment and go into the living room. There are a few things I want to talk to you about, Mary Snover.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Coming of Mr. Snover, starring Mr. Victor Moore.
The name Keepsake means quality.
Brilliant.
Keepsake is guaranteed.
Perfect.
Keepsake. It's time for you. It's a truly perfect diamond ring. It's a guaranteed perfect diamond ring meant just for you. Your keepsake.
It's as simple as this, my dear Mary. In the morning, you're going to make preparations to move back into the big house. I was born there, and I like it. And while you're taking care of the moving arrangements, I shall go down to the factory and investigate its management.
But Mr. Cap is doing a very good job, I'm sure.
No one with a name like Phineas Cap could be doing a good job.
But he always seemed like a...
Lots of people seem like things they aren't. Take me, for instance. I guess I always seemed like a meek, mild-mannered little man.
Oh, no, dear. I always knew that deep inside, you were a regular lion.
And how right you were, dear. A lion. The king of beasts. That's E. George Snover. Young man, could you tell me where Mr. Capp's office is? I've asked half a dozen people, but no one seems very cooperative.
Well, I don't exactly know where. Why, it's Mr. Snover.
Yes. Who are you?
Oh, you wouldn't remember me. The last time you saw me, I was a baby. But Dad used to have some pictures of you in the album. Maybe you remember him. Fred Stanton?
Fred Stanton? You his boy? Well, what do you know? Daddy gave Fred a job here when he got out of school. Is he still around?
No. He doesn't work here anymore. He got fired when he started asking Mr. Capp a few questions. Things aren't exactly on the up and up here, Mr. Snover.
That's what I suspected, Fred.
My name's Bill. Fred was my father.
Oh, yes. Well, things are going to be different here after today, Bill. Or they will be if I can find Mr. Capp's office.
He's right down this hall, Mr. Snover. That big office at the end. The one marked Mr. Snover's office.
Oh, thanks.
Well, it certainly is a great pleasure meeting you after all these years, Mr. Snover.
It is?
I should say so. I wanted to meet you years ago, but Mrs. Snover always said you had no head for business. So I just let it go.
But I have a head for business. I'm very good at addition. A long division, too. Bring in the books.
Oh, I'll take your word for it, Snover. I'm sure you're good in arithmetic. But why do you want to trouble yourself with unimportant things? I have everything under control here. Why don't you just forget about the Snover Potwater work?
Oh, you probably think I was kidding about my business ability. Well, I'll show you. Bring in the books.
Now, Snover, I know you're a whiz at addition and long division.
And subtraction, too. Bring in the books.
Well, they aren't exactly handy at the moment. Anyway, I'm sure you're tops in subtraction. Now, I've got a date at my club. Why don't you come along and have a drink?
No, I want to see the books.
Okay. Our books are kept in the vault, Snover, and I've buzzed for a guard. They'll be happy to show them to you. You can just add and subtract and divide to your heart's content.
Rang, boss?
Yes, Bobo. This is Mr. Snover.
Hello, Bobo.
So you're Snover.
Bobo, Mr. Snover has an idea he'd like to look at the books. I told him they were in the vault, but that you'd be happy to take him inside the vault and show them to him.
Sure, boss, sure.
So if you'll be so kind, Bobo, please take care of Mr. Snover.
Where am I?
Inside the vault at the boiler works.
Oh, it's you, my subconscious. You're the one who got me into all this trouble. I wish I'd stayed meek.
Oh, come on now, Edgar. That's no way to talk. You've done a fine job so far. All you need is one last push to make yourself a man again.
It'll have to be a big push if I'm going to get through that steel door. I guess I'll just lie here until I die. I'll smother to death. I'll suffocate. And it's all your fault.
Look, Edgar.
George.
No. No, you haven't earned that name yet. Look, Edgar, you're still on this last chance we've talked about before. You'll either muff it again and become Mary's lapdog, who can't smoke or drink or feed the pigeons in the park, or you'll be boss, the head of this company, and the lion at home. You growl once. Let's hear you do it again, Edgar.
Oh,
you can do better than that. Think of what you owe that boy, Bill, Fred's son. Why do you think he kept his job here? That's right. He figured things weren't kosher, but that you'd come back someday and set them right. He's probably outside now waiting to help you, if you let him know you're inside this vault. Why don't you pound on the door, Edgar? You want to get out, don't you?
Oh, sure, sure I do. Bill? Bill, it's me, E. George Snover, inside the vault. I want out. I have work to do.
Bill! Bill! Bill!
You don't have to hold him, Bill. Our friend Bobo isn't going to cause us any more trouble. Are you, Bobo?
I'm clearing out of here.
You wouldn't get very far, not with an attempted murder charge against you.
Huh?
Oh, yes. Knocking someone over the head and then locking them in a vault would be interpreted as attempted murder. If I press charges, but I might not. If you decided to play on my team...
Oh, what do you want me to do, boss?
Go to Cap's club and bring him back here, and I don't care if you're not Jeffel.
Okay, boss. I'll bring him back. I'll bring him back quicker than you can say.
Do you think he will, Mr. Snover?
I'm sure of it. My subconscious tells me he's a very frightened man. And it also tells me Mrs. Snover is outside.
I'll bring her in.
Good old Mary. I guess it wasn't her fault she became a shrew. If you put a rug on the floor, somebody's going to walk on it. Bill, have the notice to the employees posted on the bulletin board. And send Cap in when he gets here. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, George, dear. Well, I see you're really taking the reins in both hands. Oh, I'm glad.
I'm glad you're glad. I called you down because I didn't want to do anything to Cap without letting you know about it. You appointed him, and I know you must have had a good reason.
Well, he's the husband of a very dear friend of mine.
Well, we'll be easy on him, but he does keep very untidy books. Now then, Cap, what happened to the Wimble account?
They decided they didn't want to sell to us any longer.
Oh, I'm getting tired of these evasions, Cap. Either you come clean or I'll give you the works. And I don't mean the silver potboiler works.
Very funny.
No, not bad, but that isn't getting us anywhere. Bill, where's that letter from Mr. Wimble?
Right here, Mr. Snover.
Now then, Cap, the reason you quit doing business with Wimble is that he wouldn't give you a kickback, isn't that it?
Yes, you tightwad. I guess if you have it in that letter, I don't have to tell you about it.
Oh, the letter's only about an error of 3 cents in their last invoice. But don't worry. We have the goods on you.
What do you want?
I want you to endorse those stock shares over to Bill. I'm making him my junior partner. Then you can leave. We won't press charges.
Thank you, Snubber. Where do I sign?
Right on this dotted line. And then you can pack up your personal effects and get out of here.
Okay. There's my signature.
Fine. Hey, Bill. What's all that noise?
I don't know. It's in the courtyard right outside the window. I'll see what it is.
Oh, dear. I hope there isn't going to be any more trouble today.
The employees. They've seen the sign on the poster. They don't exactly care for this wholesale firing.
Oh, dear. I knew things were going too smoothly. Mr. Cap, I'm afraid I've been hasty. Maybe if you were to speak to the men... Wait a minute.
Edgar, this is no time to quit. Just when you were becoming me and I was becoming you.
And this is no time for riddles. What are you talking about?
I mean, well... But I'm the weak one. Your subconscious thoughts are those of a mild-mannered man. But you're strong. You're up to these emergencies. Go out there and talk to the men. George, tell them what's in your heart.
What are you mumbling to yourself about, Snover? Have you come to your senses?
Sit down, Cap. Who asked you to get up? Bill, stand beside me. I'm going to make my first... and maybe my last speech.
Gentlemen!
I said gentlemen. If you are gentlemen, you listen. I had a notice posted saying that many of you were fired. Those of you whose loyalty I doubted. I made a mistake. I was wrong. You can't condemn men too greatly for following bad leadership. I'm going to give you all good leadership and another chance. Not because I'm frightened of this demonstration, but because I think all of us deserve a second chance. I've evaded my responsibility towards you for a long time, so naturally you evaded your duty towards me. You may all have the rest of the day off, and starting tomorrow morning, we will all buckle down to the job. You will do yours and do it well, and I will do mine and do it well, or my name isn't E. George Snover.
And the curtain falls on the second act of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of The Coming of Mr. Snover, starring Mr. Victor Moore, who returns in just a moment.
Hats off!
Three cheers!
Hooray for the red, white, and blue!
The great Rexall red, white, and blue sale!
Rally round as Rexall lights up the sky with hundreds of star-spangled value.
Thrilled with a big parade of bargain after bargain after bargain.
Save on everything from vitamins to shaving cream.
Toothbrushes to nylon.
And remember, every Rexall product is guaranteed to satisfy or your money back.
Get in the spirit of Rexall's great red, white, and blue sale.
Going on right now, but only at your Rexall store.
And our star, Mr. Victor Moore. Victor, I can't thank you enough for your fine comedy performance.
Well, how about the serious part of the play? Don't you think I was dynamic?
Well, I certainly do. And I hope that dynamic personality isn't going to be lost to us. I've heard rumors that you're retiring.
Well, I'm only half retiring. Just a few radio appearances, maybe one picture a year. Or maybe two. Or three, if good roles come along.
I see. And what about the New York stage?
Well, I like it out here in California, Les.
We'll figure on having you out here, and I hope you'll be with us again.
Oh, I like that very much, Les. Well, thanks for having me, and many thanks to the cast and everyone connected with your radio theater.
Thank you, and goodbye, Victor Moore. Each week, we bring you an outstanding movie star and a story written especially for them, in a program we sincerely hope that you will find entertaining. Join us each and every week, won't you? In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. Victor Moore, as Snover. Peter Leeds as his self-conscious. Isabel Randolph as Mary. Frank Nelson as Cooley. Wilms Herbert as Boone. And Tom Neiman as Bill. Music composed and conducted by Del Castillo. The Coming of Mr. Snover was written by Dorothy Sherba, edited by Bud Lesser, produced, directed, and announced by yours truly, Les Mitchell.